Hello, and you are listening to the Tech and Tonic podcast, episode 24 of season 2. This is a show where we discuss and talk all things tech. And we also always start with, you know, the news last week. But before that, you're joining me again, Darwin and Jeevan for today's episode. So last week was, I want to say uneventful, but it wasn't. It was actually quite eventful.
It was a few big events and big announcements, I think, last week.
Actually, it's just one very big event and a few announcements coming up from that one big event, right?
But yeah.
Let's not get there first. We're talking about what happened through the whole week, right? So first things first, Razer have their, you know, new Hammerhead true wireless headphone. This is the second generation Hammerhead true wireless, basically, and it comes with Chroma RGB and active noise cancelling, and it goes for 629 ringgit, which is not a bad price for for a wireless headphone with active noise cancelling. And the best part is that it's got RGB. Like, who would want that? Or at least, which gamer doesn't want that, right? It's RGB.
I'm wondering why, though. It's going to be in your ear and flashy.
Yeah, because it looks cool. I don't know. I don't know. Why do you want RGB on your laptop? Because it looks cool, right? So I guess that's that pull factor in that sense, I think. Honor also launched something. Not really launched. They revealed the Honor Magic 3. This is a new sort of half flagship smartphone with IMX camera and stuff like that. I think Jeevan has a bit more details on that. But yeah, we've only seen photos of it so far. We haven't touched it, obviously.
Yeah, Honor's new Magic 3 is, I don't know, it looks like it's basically a Huawei Mate device from last year.
Then again, they were part of Huawei last year.
Yeah, so the biggest thing about this device, it's Honor's first flagship class device in a while. And the only thing that I can take away from this device is that it has IMX certification, which means that it does have a LUT profile for those who are interested in doing content creation with the device.
Right.
So putting it into Premiere Pro and stuff like that, color balancing will be really good, very easy to do. And it has multiple profiles based on the filter that you're using for that particular scene or feel that you're going for that content.
Okay, in theory. Should be how it's like, but we don't know until we get our hands on the phone or, you know, somebody tests the phone, right? So we don't know. There's a lot of things that we don't know about it just yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, Apple was also quite hot in the news for the past, not actually just last week. It's been going on for the past 2 or 3 weeks already. They were trying to make the internet a bit safer for kids.
Like, making the internet safer is one thing, but it also introduces a lot of concerns when it comes to privacy.
Correct.
So what Apple is trying to do is basically put in a back door into the phone where they will be able to basically see your photos. And from your photos and your media, they're going to be able to pick out items which are related to child sexual abuse and child porn, which can then be reported to the authorities.
Yeah, this sort of, to me, goes against everything that they have kind of tried to do in the past few years, you know, because they were talking about privacy, right? And they're like, oh, your data is controlled by your hands, like in your hands, like your privacy is in your hands.
Yeah,
and that, you know, the FBI or whoever cannot actually access your phone even through them. This is
exactly
a complete turnaround.
On top of that, we don't know whether Apple will be able to use this backdoor to monitor people.
I think most likely you would be able to. You know, that's the whole point of a backdoor, right?
Yeah. And so it's massive when it comes to security.
I mean, but I think there are other ways for you to basically, you know, monitor all these things and make your the internet safer for your kids. Parental control, a tighter parental control, at least, is one of them. But yeah, I think it should be done on device instead of, you know, Apple coming up to say, hey, we are controlling this and we know all this and you we know what you're doing.
And on top of that, it also brings up the concern that if you're a new parent and you're taking pictures of your newborn, where will they draw the line?
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of what
ifs. Before this, it's you know how porn algorithms, well, how parental control before this, they work by using color. They actually detect color of the skin, right?
Yeah.
So if there's too much skin color on a single website or web page and things like that, it will be flagged and it will go into parental control and say that this site is not safe because it's porn, right? So if they're using that same algorithm in your phones and linking that to the back door, wouldn't your own, you know, your own photos of you in a swimsuit be flagged as well?
That's the thing. And on top of that, a lot of newborn parents, let's be very frank, newborn kids don't necessarily wear, not necessarily fully clothed, especially in hotter countries all the time.
Yeah.
So
where does this end? I mean, we don't know yet, right? Because they're still contemplating. There's still a lot of mechanics that they're still working on. And it's still going through a lot of debate. Like, I think a lot of people are not very sure about whether or not they would want this kind of thing on a smartphone. But at the same time, there is some good, right? In a sense that it could be safer for the kids. That's just my opinion. There's some form of control over it, but at the same time, I think they just really have to rethink about how they want to approach this. Speaking of privacy, Facebook was also quite hot in the news last week because an anti-competition regulatory body from UK decided that, you know, Facebook should not be buying Giphy. If you don't know yet, Giphy, the GIF platform, however you want to pronounce it, okay, I don't think there's a proper way to announce it to pronounce it anyway. It's where, you know, it's where you can find all these animated stuff that you can send to your friends, your parents, whoever, like, on your texts, on Facebook, create whatever memes you want, right? And apparently, this is now owned by Facebook. Then again, what's not being owned by Facebook these days, right?
Yeah. It's come to a point where it seems like they own everything.
Yeah, so the UK law basically said that, hey, this is not right. This is basically them doing anti-competition, right? Because if they bought over the platform, what is stopping them from saying that this platform is now Facebook exclusive? You can't use it on Twitter. You cannot use it on Snapchat. You cannot use it on whichever social media that's not owned by Facebook. And it's not to say there's a lot out there, but it could be, which makes sense, kind of. Yeah, so they might be forced to sell the platform if they are found guilty of it, or if there's a consensus that, you know, Facebook shouldn't have so much power, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, why are you specifically going after Giphy?
That's a good question, right?
There's so many other things that that they can go after, and they're going after Giphy.
That's the thing, right? Because I think Giphy is just one of the latest, you know, string of purchases that Facebook has made. In some sense, I would have said that, you know, they probably should have taken action when Facebook started talking about taking over Instagram, in my opinion.
Mine would have been WhatsApp, because Instagram and WhatsApp were basically back-to-back.
Yeah, so when they started talking about purchasing Instagram, and then right after they were talking about getting WhatsApp on board, right? I think that was the beginning of, I think you should see that, hey, Facebook is now going to be holding too much power over its consumers. I think. Okay, that's
yeah.
Basically just my opinion. But, you know, the world works in strange ways. Very strange. Anyway, yeah. Last week was one of the most exciting weeks that, you know, for the tech industry. One very big event happened, and that is Samsung's Unpacked. We're going to talk about that now. Yes, that is Samsung's biggest event of the second half of the year. Correct me if I'm
wrong. Yeah, it should be their biggest event. But
it technically is their biggest event currently, right? Because
yeah,
supposedly, we were supposed to see like a new device with an S Pen.
Yeah.
Sadly, it doesn't come to that. Well, there is still an S Pen involved, but it's not the Samsung Galaxy Note anymore, which is quite sad. But
yeah, it is sad. But at the same time, I think Samsung should have just gone with Galaxy Unfolded instead of Unpacked.
Well, there's a missed opportunity there. But at the same time, what prevented them from calling it the Samsung Galaxy Unflipped event, you know?
Or yeah.
Event. You can't... It's not nice. I mean, it's a lot of puns, but, you know, it should always be consistent. I think their consistency is great. You sort of know what to expect, because this time, it's not just one device that came out. It's 2, 3, 4 devices that came out of the woodwork. So I'm like, wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I think this has been one of their most complete, like, unpacks to date. Like, they have addressed so many different needs and wants with their products.
Right. I mean,
and yeah.
To be fair, they didn't really announce anything other than their smartphone and mobile lineup this year, right? They didn't announce anything further on in terms of what's going on in full terms of Bixby and the Galaxy ecosystem, the Galaxy world, right? But they did launch the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3. I still want to call it the Z Flip 2 because there's no Z Flip 2.
Well, there is a 5G model in between, but that's not a new phone. That's
exactly
my biggest...
It's not a Z Flip 2. It's a Z Flip 5G.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's to keep the consistent naming, which is fine, I guess. But it's confusing when you want to try to figure out what generation phone is this? It's the same as when we were talking about the Samsung Galaxy Note, right?
Yeah. Like,
the Samsung Galaxy Note 20 is technically its 10th generation, not 11th generation smartphone.
Yep.
Right? And the Galaxy Note 9 is its 8th generation smartphone, not the 9th generation. So we have to try to keep that in mind.
Well, in between, we did have the... Was it the Galaxy Note Edge?
That was the Galaxy Note 5 that turned into something else, like an Edge smartphone, because there was a Galaxy S6 Edge in the same year. So I think they tried to introduce the Samsung Galaxy Note 5 Edge or something like that, but it didn't take off, right?
Yeah, so we do have that one particular model where we can say, okay, we can consider this one generation which failed.
I don't consider that one generation which failed. You know which generation failed? Okay, I don't want to say it.
Let's just say it had an explosive mark.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, Samsung's not very happy when we actually mentioned that a few times, but
no, but then I think this year what they have done with the devices is really, really a step up.
I mean, compared to what they had last year, right? Last year they introduced the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 2, the Z Fold 2. And if I'm being honest, I reviewed it and I kind of liked it. I saw the point because finally it's a product that feels like a full product. Like, it's not experimental anymore.
The
only complaint I had about it was that the software still feels very experimental, right? The UI is still a bit annoying.
Yeah, but which they actually addressed in the Flip, not the Fold.
No, well, I would say that the Flip was more optimized because the screen size is more akin to like a normal smartphone display, right? And on the Z Fold 2, they promised the UI to be fixed in the sense that it's going to fit the Fold even better, like the that big factor screen, that really odd size screen even better. And in a sense, they did some changes on the UI, like YouTube looks a bit more polished in the sense that you can use the second half of the display as, you know, the comment section, or, you know, you can use the camera to control and stuff like that. That's kind of what they did on the Flip. But it still doesn't work properly on the Z Fold 2. Like, for a foldable device that opens up such a big display, it's still kind of unpolished, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's also because a lot of the folding features, like, that made sense to us, like, even your multi-angled folding and stuff like that, came with the Flip. It didn't come with the Fold 2.
It did.
Oh, wait, that was the first generation.
That's the first Fold, yeah.
Yes.
The first Fold was the flappy phone that doesn't want to stay in place if you don't lock it in place. That was the first Fold.
Right? And the one that gave us a heart attack.
Yeah, and the Z Fold 2 does address a lot of that problem. Like, the hinge is a lot stronger. The display feels a lot better. You know, the crease, although it's still there, it's not as bad. It actually feels sturdy, right? It didn't have waterproof features on it, which I can completely understand, because the hinge is very difficult to work with.
Yeah, and I think they addressed it this year with the Z Fold 3 and the Z Flip 3.
Yes. Not 2. So they did address the waterproof function. It's now IPX8. IPX8. Which is great,
It is great, but I also understand why they don't have dust proofing. Because we've seen how the hinge works.
Yeah, so the hinge, you will get dust into the hinge. It's
inevitable.
You can't do anything about it, because it's a gap. You can't seal the hinge. It's a moving mechanism. You cannot seal the hinge. So, no matter what you do, dust will get in there. But the hinge is basically still that same hinge that has the brush and stuff like that to prevent the dust from going into the, you know, the essential internal parts, which is still great.
Right? Yeah, and it looks slightly thinner this year.
Yes, it does.
It really looks slightly thinner. And I think for both, this hinge has allowed them to design a little bit more compellingly.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to the Flip 3.
I think it looks a bit more seamless, the design of the device itself. I think compared even to the Z Fold and Z Flip, the previous one, Z Fold 2 and the Z Flip, right?
Yeah.
It's so strange. I wanted to say Z Flip 2. Then, exactly. There's no Z You're Flip like, 2.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really puts this generation of foldables on a new level is the fact that Samsung is trying to make it more affordable, number one. And they are trying to bring it with a lot more features.
Yeah, let's talk about the price a little later, right?
Yeah.
I still wonder, because we haven't touched them. This is, like, let's be very frank about it. We have not actually experienced the devices. We've never seen it in real life, not even on a Zoom call, right?
Yep.
Because of the unique way Samsung is being run. So we haven't seen the devices, we haven't seen the experience of it, we haven't experienced it for ourselves. So in a sense, we can only take Samsung's word for it at this time. Like, oh yeah, we've improved the UI, we've optimized this for the Flip, we've optimized this for the Z Fold, right? Because both are different devices and both should have slightly different UIs. So supposedly Instagram or a lot of the apps are supposed to be able to take advantage of the Z Fold's bigger display inside, right? And now there's like an under-screen camera, which is, I think, very clever. And I think, if I am correct in saying this, I may be wrong, They are the first. The Z Fold 3 basically is the first viable or commercially available smartphone with an under-display camera. Am I right in saying that?
I think so, although I think Vivo might have had a commercially available phone before this, but we didn't get it here.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you know you can consider that viably a commercially available, because it's not available anywhere else. We've only seen it in photos.
But and one thing that I really like, I'm really questioning, is it's only 4 megapixels though, the under display camera.
I think that's enough, because think about it this way. I use the Z Fold 2, right? And when I'm taking selfies with my friends, okay, I've almost never used the internal camera because I know that the internal camera is not that great. So I've always been like, oh, let's just use the back camera because it's 12 megapixels all around. And, you know, you get to choose between a wide angle or, you know, a normal angled camera. Like,
yeah,
it just makes more sense.
I think that's the difference between the first generation and second generation Fold.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the first generation Fold, I would have rather used the internal cameras because they were better.
Yeah, because there's two internal cameras, if I'm not wrong.
If I remember, yeah, it was two or three internal cameras.
Yeah, which was clever, but at the same time, like, why?
It didn't really make sense because you had such a bulky thing to hold in your hands.
Exactly. And the more camera modules you have to remember, you have to put more camera sensors inside, right? And the more camera sensors there are, the more bulk you have to put in. So I think, kind of, because you're not trying to make this a photography focused smartphone, you're not selling it for its camera technology, right?
Yeah.
You're selling it for what it can do in your life, like its productivity value, what it can be used for, its use cases, its unique use cases, especially like when you're in the train, you know, you need to consume media quickly, or you just need to scroll through your email very quickly to find something, and you need that bigger display. And then, you know, you can pocket it very easily after that. You know, you don't have to like keep a huge tablet in your bag and make it heavier, right? So I think that's the whole point. So you don't actually need super high resolution cameras, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, and the other thing that they have actually improved is the screens. So this year's Fold and Flip come with 120Hz displays.
Finally.
With dynamic AMOLED 2X.
Finally. I mean, aside from that improvement on the screen, which also gives you, I think, a slightly better UI experience and things like that, I think the biggest improvement is also allowing S Pen to be used on the Z Fold 3.
Yeah.
It's quite big.
That is actually quite interesting how they did it, because during the unpack, they were actually unpacking the technology behind the S Pen.
And how now, they're using the S Pen to protect the display itself.
So you won't be able to use a regular S Pen on the Z Fold 3.
Yep.
You will need to specifically get
an S Pen for the Galaxy Z Fold 3. Yes.
Yeah. So it says S Pen for Galaxy Fold.
What I'm really bummed about is that there were some rumors that they were going to pack the phone, the S Pen into the Z Fold 3, right? And that didn't happen. So I'm quite bummed about that. I'm like, why? Just give us the S Pen inside the phone already.
But I understand why they didn't do it, because I think for this generation at least, they don't know where to put the space for the S Pen.
I can sort of understand that. But, you know, it's still kind of disappointing, because in this sense, right, from the launch of the Galaxy Z Fold 3, at least from this unpacked event, it actually seems that while the Note series is not going to be available anymore, these are the smartphones that are going to carry the torch for the S Pen series, like for the Note series at least. This is going to be the new Samsung Galaxy Note. And guess what? It folds like a notebook.
Yes, I enjoy that. But at the same time, but the biggest but I have about this S Pen is that we're going back to a rounded nib.
Yeah.
With our current generation of Galaxy Note, because it's a hard display, we were getting sharper and sharper nibs, which allowed us more precision.
Yeah. So, in that sense, I guess I can understand why. Because they're still trying to protect the hinge itself, right? Because
yeah.
a folding display means that there's one soft bit on the display. No matter what you do, that soft bit is going to be the most vulnerable part of the smartphone. And that's why they couldn't do an S Pen
in yeah, the previous generation. On top of that, I think the biggest difference is that the display is actually made of softer material.
Yeah. So, in that sense, I understand why they're doing this with the S Pen. And I am happy that actually they're doing it. Although, we have to take a step back or at least, you know, compromise a little bit. I think it's good. Because this is moving forward, you're going to still have the S Pen. And especially yeah. for the Note, I think it's something that we've been asking for the past 2 years at least.
And like, on it top makes of so much sense. That, I think when you're talking about compromises, the biggest compromise with the Z Fold when it comes to the S Pen is that they're not using one big digitizer.
No, they're using two digitizers.
Yeah, they're using two digitizers, and at the hinge, there's actually an empty spot, which they're using machine learning to fill in.
And it still looks quite good, so credits to them. I would say credits to them. You can't expect the same technology to be used on top of the whole display, okay, for your digitizer. I don't think you can. Not at this time anyway. And they've did their best. They figured out how to do it. And I think kudos to them. That's an amazing feat on its own. Because if not, we probably might not see the S Pen on the Galaxy Z Fold 3 for the next 3 to 4 years, I think. Until they are able to develop a digitizer that can last probably about 50,000 to 10,000 to like what, a million folds that they consider for the Z Fold 3 in its lifetime. Yeah.
But yeah, I also think another factor in the decision not to put the S Pen in the body of the Z Fold 3 is because there is actually a spring in the S Pen. The spring is supposed to allow you to have that 4,096 points of precision without you damaging your screen.
Yeah, so that spring is added just as a protection to the screen, right? And yeah. I think we have seen styluses, smaller styluses that can actually have that spring, I think, okay? I think the issue is that they want to make the S Pen as comfortable to use as possible. Because if you notice, like, the small stem S Pen that we have on the Note, they are really functional, they are really great, but they're not necessarily the most comfortable to use. I think they're trying to mimic that, you know, that notepad with pen type of physical feel. And that's why I think they decided, okay, let's make an S Pen, but separate from the Fold 3, but bigger, you know, because we can now make it into, like, a proper pen. So I think that's mostly why they go for a larger and more separate, you know, S Pen route. Like, it gives them the ability to do so, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think this year's Fold is one of the most powerful we've had. I think both of them actually. The Flip and Fold both come with the Qualcomm Snapdragon 888 5G processors.
Yeah, super powerful stuff. So at least you're not wanting for more power. I mean, the Z Fold 3, the Z Fold series has always had flagship type, you know, processors, including Z Fold 3, Z Fold 2, sorry. But the Z Flip is always like, you know, a step down, like a year.
Yeah, it was always one step behind.
Yeah, even the older Z Flip had a processor, you know, when the 5G even launched. It had a processor that was 2 years old.
Yep.
And now we get to the price, lah, okay? And it sold for 7,000 ringgit? Somewhere there?
Was it 7,000? Yeah, I think so. It was around 7,000 ringgit.
It was expensive. Like, oh, why?
Yeah, and this is for the Flip when you're paying for what was then considered dated technology.
Yeah, and the Z Fold 2 was 7,900 ringgit. It was 8,000 ringgit. It's like,
yep.
Goodness, this is a price of two phones. And to me, it while it does in some sense perform like two phones, it's not worth the price.
Yeah, but on top of that, I think at the time that we first saw the Z Flip and Z Fold, we were paying for being early adopters.
Yeah, but still, it's too much.
Expensive.
And we actually expected this year's Z Fold 3 and Z Flip 3 to be about the same price as last year because, hey, look, it's still quite a new technology, you have to admit. And I mean, you know, it was sold at this price. So
yeah.
It only makes sense that it's sold at the same price, right? But no, it's actually much cheaper.
Yeah, and I think it's also because Samsung, the way Samsung has presented it during the presentation, they said they wanted this to be the phone of tomorrow, the daily phone of tomorrow.
Mm.
And the only way they're going to do that is to not be so premium with the phone.
Yeah, I mean, early adopters aside, this is if they really want to bet their future on foldable or flip smartphones, it has to be affordable at least. And it shows because the Galaxy Z Flip 3, okay, the at least the cheaper one, the 128GB storage option, is 3,999 ringgit. That's not bad.
That's actually cheaper than the S21 Plus.
Yeah, that's... It's the price of a regular flagship.
Which yeah.
Is cool. It's not a very expensive price. You don't get a charger, though. That's the only caveat that you have to live with. Okay, so most flagships do not come with a charger anymore. It still comes with a cable. Doesn't come with a headphone. But no charger, you know? Yeah, so...
Yeah. So
gotta take
even
that into account. Yeah.
The bigger size, the one with more memory.
Yeah.
Comes in at 4,199 ringgit. So that is a lot cheaper than last year.
Yeah. 4,200 ringgit considering. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not very expensive. It's really not bad as a price.
Yeah, and on top of that, I think this year's design.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot better than what we had for the Z Flip initially.
I feel that the design this year looks more like a Google Pixel.
To a sense, I think it's because of the dual tone when you open it.
The two-tone look, yes.
But I think they didn't have a choice really when it came to putting the dual tone.
Yeah.
Because with the larger 1.9-inch screen...
Mm-hmm.
If you changed any other color, it would look like last year's flip, but with a big black hole.
True, that is true. And I kind of like that they increased the size of the display.
The outside display, at least.
Because now it's more usable. You can actually
look at it.
You can actually use it.
Well, we saw the original flip, we're like, what are we going to use this screen for?
You can use it to take selfies and to look at time and stuff like that. But it's so small. Like, why? How can you see anything?
I think the only use for that screen was just to see whether you were having calls or the time. Because I tried taking a selfie with it. And I think I told you this yesterday. It was like you needed a microscope to see what you were actually shooting.
You can't see anything. It's too small.
Yeah.
Yeah, not unless you squint, right? But this year, they've actually increased the size of the display for the outside. And I think that's amazing, actually.
Yep.
Right?
And from what they have told us, you'll be able to use your Samsung Pay with that small display as well.
Ah, that's at least more functional. There's more function added to it, which is great. I think the Z Flip 3 should be quite a good seller. In that sense, in this price range, I think this should sell quite well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Z Fold 3, last year it started at 7,399, I think. And this year it's gone down to 6,699 ringgit, which is wow. Wow.
For me it's wow, but at the same time I'm like, would I buy a smartphone for 6,699 ringgit?
Well, I think in a sense, like, we've discussed about this, I think, right, yesterday. And I think in the sense, you're not really just buying a single smartphone when you're buying this Galaxy Z Fold 3. You're really buying into two devices in one.
Yeah.
And I think if you think about it like that, it seems like it's more worth it. Now, the only issue is if it's going to really fulfill your experience of having two devices in one pocket kind of thing, right? The bigger storage version, the 512 gigabyte version, is 7,099 ringgit, which is also not actually very expensive, right? But at the same time, yeah, you have to start thinking about, is this going to be two devices in one? Am I paying for, you know, a device that can work in tandem with everything else that I need in a smartphone and outside of a smartphone as a tablet? Right.
Yep.
And we cannot confirm that until we get a review or get a hold of it.
And also, mm-hmm. On top of that, we have to highlight that these prices do not include the S Pen.
Yes, these prices do not include the S Pen. It doesn't include your charger. Yeah, so you have to think about that. Although in the pre-order, you can actually get like an e-store voucher for like 850 ringgit for the Z Fold 3. And yep. 600 ringgit for the Z Flip 3. Not very small amount of money. I mean, you can get a lot of stuff, but I think the pre-orders this year is not that great compared to the years before.
I think this round specifically.
Yeah.
So, I remember the S21 having a little bit more to their pre-orders.
I think the S21 Ultra had almost like 1,300 ringgit in free gifts,
yep.
Itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah.
But so
if you want to pre-order, it's still okay. But.
Yeah, but I think the biggest, at least the biggest shock for me was, the cameras on the folds are basically 12 megapixel sensors.
Why is that a surprise?
Last year they had 16?
No. Last year it was 12 megapixels as well.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you're so used to seeing big numbers when it comes to megapixels. And this is the first time like Samsung is actually holding back.
Last year's Z Fold 2 had 12 megapixel sensors all around as well. I think it's fine because, again, we've spoken about this. I think we've discussed about smartphone photography and what kind of megapixel you need, right? And I think the optimal megapixel size is 12 to 16. And the focus of the flip of the Z Fold, I think, is not really about photography. It's more about productivity. So the camera is there as kind of an extra feature, in my opinion. And at the same time, they have to really consider the price of it, because the more megapixels you cram into the sensor itself, the sensor gets more expensive, right? So if, let's say, they're going to fit like, I think if they're going to fit a 16 megapixel sensor at the back of the phone, they might have to bump the price up a little bit. At the same time, is it worth the trade-off for the price? I don't think so. I think 12 megapixel is completely fine. Completely fine with that, actually.
I don't have any issue. It's just that I was expecting them to push it a little bit, because they have been one of those companies that have been pushing the megapixel count.
I think they're going to do that on the Galaxy S series now.
Yeah.
Instead of the Z Fold and the Z Flip.
And I think what we have discussed, we've also said that anything above 12 or 16 megapixels is basically overkill.
Yeah, so you don't really need that. And I think that it's a good decision from them anyway to say, we're not gonna bother with the camera on this one, because we're not using this for the camera. You're not selling this for the camera. You're selling this for that factor of, you can use two devices in one. I think that's the whole focus of it instead of the camera. They yep. will, I think, increase the megapixel count in the future sooner than we thought or we expected. Okay, maybe the next year's one, they might have a bigger sensor or whatnot. But until then, I think 12 megapixels fine. You know, I think it's okay.
Yep.
You don't really need that kind of camera in a Z Fold 3, I think. It's just my opinion. You let us know what you think, you know? And alongside the Z Fold and Z Flip, for Malaysia, at least they're going to be launching the Galaxy Watch 4. But I don't think we have enough time to talk about it. We will cover that a little later, probably next week. For now, we have to end the show. So thank you for listening in and listening to us rant about, you know, the Z Fold and the Z Flip 3 and what we like, what we don't like, and what we expect to see from the devices. If you want to let us know what you think, you can, you know, just let us know via our email. You can find that on www.techend.tv, or you can just give us a feedback from, you know, from YouTube, from, you know, Google Podcasts, or even Apple Podcasts. Just comment and let us know what you think of the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 and the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3. I still think that their naming is a bit too long. I would like them to squeeze down the naming a little bit, but it is what it is. They are Samsung, and that's how they name things. Anyway, we are also on social media, so you can also give us feedback there. You know, we are on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and even LinkedIn as TechEndTV. That is TechEndTV across all these channels. So yeah, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Darwin and Jeevan. We are signing off. Bye.
See ya.